Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Dave.
Yes, hi, Yellow.
Look where we are. Look where we are. Yes. We're back to where it all began.
Back where we started.
In a fantastic, like, how could 2024 start in a cooler way?
Yes.
Look who is with us. We are here in with person.
The delightful, some would say sexy, Jeremy Corbell.
The Jeremy Corbell. And just, I need to do this in honor of, first of all, how you doing, man? It's great to see you.
Good.
I'm going to introduce you hardcore. Jeremy.
Oh, and
Corbell.
By the way, welcome to Really.
Oh, yeah, this is Really. But we're just getting going. Like, there's too many questions here. Too much to talk about.
Spread the word about that sexy thing, by the way. I never heard that one.
So no, you've been spreading it.
Well, I have been, but nobody else picking it up.
You're the one I was quoting.
I'm really glad. Yeah. Spread that shit.
Yeah. The sexy Jeremy Corbell is an American contemporary artist, investigative filmmaker, and journalist. His movies, available widely, include Bob Lazar, Area 51 and Flying Saucers, Patient 17, and Hunt for the Skinwalker. He's known for his documentary work, exploring real-world mysteries in the fields of UFOs, advanced technology, and the dark space where science confronts the abnormal. His podcast, Weaponized, with legendary journalist and UFO investigator George Knapp, is regularly breaking news and punching holes in the firewall toward transparency. And just when I thought for a minute 2024 was like off to like a slow UAP start, Jeremy comes out swinging with his new series, UFO Revolution, a three-part event series streaming on Tubi, has created all kinds of buzz with newly released military footage of never-before-seen UAPs. Dude, thank you for being here, starting the year right for us. Let's talk jellyfish. Let's talk what just transpired here.
Yeah.
I mean, let's
jump right in. Okay, well, first,
because it's all over the place now.
It's everywhere.
Yeah.
Something like that. When you get military film footage for the first time of an incursion in a conflict zone, this is the first time the American public get to see this, global public. It has power. Now it's a UAP. It's an unknown, and the harrowing experience of getting this out. And we'll talk about how long I've had it, and I can talk more freely now. But yeah, it's exploded across the world, and it should, because this is the kind of stuff that should be put out through transparency by our government, but instead it's being leaked to journalists. But before we get into all that, I want to first tease you about how you tie your shoes. You're as bad as me.
What happened?
I don't know. You got a lace that's going down.
Look at mine, man.
I'm all asymmetric.
But you got kind of the cool boot. You got things tucked in here, but these are my kind of go-tos.
Those are great shoes. I'm asymmetric. Yeah. You're asymmetric.
You got yours all loose, like you do when you're a kid and your mom's tired of doing them up.
So I can tie my shoes on like your buddy here. But the thing is, Tom, is that I can jump out of them real quick and relax. Damn, but check it out, Dave. The other thing really important before we start talking about UFOs, I really want to mourn something. Can I say it out loud?
Sure.
Dave, you got murdered, bro.
Yeah.
You're dead.
You can say that. This will come out after everyone should have seen it by the time
they should have damn seen it.
And you should be spoiled by now if you know. Yeah. I guess I'm part of that.
Dave's in a TV show called Fargo. Mm-hmm. It was, before knowing Dave, one of my favorite TV shows on television. It's thoughtful. It's eerie. It's all this stuff.
Yeah.
It's a bonus to see him killed in
yes.
that show.
Yeah. Yes. Some of the best. Some excited. Of the best writing on television. Yeah. That
I'm
show.
Getting. I have people yeah. coming up to me, like I'm your manager or your mom or something, and they just get. Yeah. They're going like, Dave is so good in Fargo. I'm like, what the fuck? Why? Why are you like?
You're
yeah,
like, you're like I haven't seen it. What are you talking about?
Really, I'm like, all right.
I don't watch that shit.
No, you are doing outstanding work.
It was
as
really,
usual.
Really yeah. cool. You're to see you.
It's been
that.
Yeah, it's been really nice. I certainly was really fun to get the job, fun to do it, fun to shoot it. Not so fun to be in minus 34 degree weather in Calgary.
There wasn't CGI, that was real cold.
That? Yeah, real cold. Yeah, but Toronto winter isn't the same as Calgary winter.
So give me some dirt, because we did break some news on Weaponized before your show came out that Dave had an eye patch in
yes.
it. So I'm just curious, the whole experience you had with all these other actors you worked with, I mean, you getting, you know, seen in that way, it's not a comedic role in the same way as other things. What is that like, dude?
Well, I gotta say, the response is very similar. Like, as an old guy, I get this, you know, I'm used to getting this response. You look great, which means you don't look as shitty as I expected.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm sort of getting the same response for my acting on Fargo. You were great! Like, you know, like...
We expected otherwise.
You weren't shitty!
Yeah.
So it's, you know, it's a heightened reaction. Because of lowered expectation, I guess.
No, it's earned,
well, as long
baby.
As people say, you know, you look good, you know, that's yeah. all that matters.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You're looking sharp.
I like when I hear that apparently I'm Dilfy. Or as Zaddy, I think is the other term I've heard.
What the hell is that?
That's a hot daddy.
Okay.
See, Dave yeah. must like hang yeah. out on TikTok. He knows yeah. all Dude, these new trendy words. Oh, he teaches me shit about the iPhone all the time. He had some camera that tracked him when he was sitting on a couch and then got up. It's yeah. the weirdest thing. You're ahead
That's
of your time.
That's out of date now. That's the portal,
you're,
yeah.
You're
yeah.
ahead of your time, but unfortunately, you're fucking dead.
Yeah, well, I'm not.
Oh.
The good Danish Graves Esquire. Is dead.
Oh, thank God. Yeah, yeah, I thought I was here with back. The ghost of Dave Foley.
I got to explain to you how TV works.
Mm-hmm. Okay, do it.
In fiction.
Okay.
I'm, yeah, yeah. Because you're a documentarian, so you think everything's real.
But that writing on that show is badass.
Oh, it's bad. I mean, really, I always, fabulous. I think Noah Hawley is up there with like Paddy Chayefsky and, you yeah. know, and Rod Serling and, the you know, amongst TV writers.
That is great.
Mentioning Rod Serling, just want to again say this one more time. Best UFO documentary of all time was fully funded by the CIA.
Yes.
I think it was back in the 60s. They got Rod Serling from The Twilight Zone to narrate it. It's called UFOs Past, Present, and Future. And anybody can go look it up. There's two versions. One's a little longer. It has actual footage from Holloman Air Force Base when a UFO did affirmed come down to base. They were going to give the person, as a soft disclosure kind of thing, the full footage. And what ended up happening, like, you know, catch and release, the UFO thing, you never got the money shot. We'll talk about that today, too.
Yeah, they pulled it back at the last second, right?
Right, but it had been seen, but it was of these beings, allegedly, when they landed the craft, coming out looking like Egyptian garb. If that footage exists, which I am told it is from within the government, if it exists, that is the money shot. That is the end of the conversation. Grail. That is the Holy Grail. So you get to see a couple seconds of just like an a luminous object dropping down in that movie. UFOs, Past, Present, Future, narrated by Rod Serling. Closest thing where CIA was trying to see what disclosure might look like and how people would react. And it is a great movie with yeah. great cases.
And that, and then we're going to quickly pivot back to Jellyfish, but that. In that documentary, you're saying that little sort of bit, does yep. that continue? There's, that footage continues?
It does. Like all the things we're going to talk about, it's so cool. annoying. And don't shoot the messenger. But
I've,
yeah.
I've heard that the aliens in that clip, if you see it, it's actually two seagulls in a balloon.
You know, or well, yeah. it's poop
yeah.
on a lens from seagulls. That's yeah. where we are today.
Yeah. Seagulls are freaky, by the way. Yeah. I wouldn't put it past them.
Seagulls are disinformation agents.
Oh, my yeah. Lord, we can't move one step forward without idiots saying stupid, disingenuous things.
Yeah.
Let me get my words out.
Yes.
Yeah.
Disingenuous brokers of information. That's what you are seeing. And you know what? What's so great is I only know this because, like, Dave or my mom texts me shit. I don't read none of that. I'm too busy running forward, doing actual work, than to look back at the bullshit on social media. But, hey, the truth will always be revealed. Mm-hmm. And so, I'm also not saying I know what any of the objects. I wasn't there either, but I can fill in a lot of voids.
Yeah.
UAP just means UFO, which means unidentified. However, unique circumstances and characteristics makes this important to our military and to you and me. It should. So with that said.
Or, well, maybe, you know, maybe just
debunkers beware.
Yeah. Maybe just in case anyone watching this hasn't seen this yet. Should we run the clip?
OK, sounds good. This is my buddy Como, but this is the clip's probably in there.
And people want to slice up the jellyfish. I would have called it a compass rose, but you can call it whatever you want. 100 different ways. Why it's not true. It's a smudge. It's a balloon. Here's why I don't care about these various theories. Because somebody knows, Jeremy, that's why. And it is their business and responsibility to tell people whatever it is or that they don't know, we shouldn't have to guess. And this keeps happening again and again. That's the relevancy to me. I don't care what it is on the screen. I want someone to tell me who's in the business of knowing.
Let me break something down for you because people don't understand. So when people and sources approach me and I obtain and release military film footage, sometimes verified by the Pentagon, that doesn't go unnoticed. There are investigations. My number one job is to protect sources, even if they don't protect themselves. But what you're seeing are people that are frustrated with the secrecy. They know elements of the truth and they don't believe it should be held back. So being responsible, caring about national security, I can release things like the date, but not the time an image was set, because that can perfectly identify something. So with all of my imagery, whether I get it perfect or not, what I'm doing is I'm giving as much information as I can. I'm protecting sources, trying to move that ball forward and getting a bipartisan look at this so we can all be on the same page. This is imminent right now. This topic, what's happening, this is imminent. Whether you believe in UFOs or not, it's no longer a matter of belief. It's either true or not true, and this information is coming out. We need to treat whistleblowers better. We need to protect people that come forward. And as a journalist, I am doing my best to bring information, credible information forward, and allowing the public to decipher what's going on, but also having more witnesses come forward who are at these events, which is already happening.
So, like, just can we just...
Sure.
This is the freakiest looking. This is the freakiest looking thing.
It is, and I can show it to you. Basically, this. Have you seen the whole video before?
I have watched 30 seconds, 45 seconds.
Okay, so I've got about 2 minutes of it. It traverses, through a secret base within a base. As it does this, there's the whole story of why it was filmed, what was going on. That's the whole thing. But just the look of it. Yeah, it's the weirdest fucking shit you've ever seen. Now, understand the reason why this was initially targeted, or they tried to target it. The machinery couldn't target it. They told us, me and George Knapp, they've never had it before. We know for sure they did a full service of the equipment, found no problems afterwards. The big fear they had was they couldn't lock it. They can lock an Al-Qaeda tire at 23 miles away in motion and designate a strike on it. Operators could not target it, so they had to optically slew. Now, where have we heard that before?
Yeah, with the Tic Tac.
And Commander Underwood.
And Underwood, yes, Underwood,
who was filming and targeting. So their job on these systems, their weapons targeting platforms.
And that's why the crosshairs there.
Correct.
Are not centered on.
You heard in that in the Go Fast, oh, got it. And that was like an auto lock.
Yeah.
The thing is that these operators on this day and on balloons or on trash, you know, you'd be able to lock something.
Yeah.
So their system failed them. And that was the biggest high alert immediately. Like, because if this was some sort of drone with the spaghetti monster, they called it, with like a bomb on it, and you can't target it except optically, you've got a problem. Now, I'm not showing here the HUD display, which is like it shows every detail, but that's highly classified, and I know better than that. So it doesn't matter whatever the HUD display says, but it was jammed. So they don't know if it was optical.
What does HUD stand for?
A heads-up display.
Oh. And basically that kind of thing, there's black on top and bottom of the video. either a source did that or I did that. I'll just put it that way. It's to protect everybody, national security. But, you know, look, the point is it couldn't target it. And it was the machines were checked later. It's never happened in the history of these guys who, by the way, I've seen their briefing slides when they're studying to do this. They are shown bags, trash, and they're like, check this out. This is what it looks like. This is how to identify flying debris. Hey, here's some balloons. Looks pretty weird from far out. Zoom in, check it out. You can see their balloons. So they are trained to be able to discriminate if something is a balloon, if something is trash, if something's a smudge on the lens. So just so you know, these are not people that just jumped on a technology right away. They have to have NDAs and be to be at all on these missions at the space, but you're at a base within a base. Now, something profound happened that night. Before we get into it, your comment was, it looks weird. And let me just tell you personally, my problem is I was like, dude, this doesn't look like a UFO to me. I thought UFOs were like Tic Tacs and spheres and all this.
This is fucking freaky looking.
But I had heard about this morphology before in a very unique situation where I know for a fact there is footage of. The thing is, I could never have that footage or release it because it's from within Pantex, which Pantex is in Texas, and it's a nuclear armament and disarmament facility. And this footage is of a jellyfish morphology type object moving between nuclear silos with intentional propulsion and speed, coming up to 45 degrees, shooting off instantaneously, instantaneous movement. If Pantex wants to release that through Aero or give it to Aero, I can tell the Senate Intelligence Committee exactly where to find that footage and who to speak with. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to do that if they want to provide.
And go, Pantex.
Have you seen that footage?
So here's the deal. I'm going to just say that I know for sure that footage exists. And I know that it is in the hands of individuals where the Senate Intelligence Committee, if they're interested, or the Inspector General, that they can obtain that footage and that it is extraordinary.
Yeah.
And I am more than willing to let them know as long as there's no repercussions against witnesses and this sort of thing. So it was so weird, dude. I had only kind of thought about that morphology before that I said, let me take this serious. Let me actually look because it looks like fucking bird shit to me, right? And going back in history, I was reading a John Keel book. It was called Operation Trojan Horse. And it talked about translucent jellyfish. It was one of the first morphologies he talked about all the way back in the day. The jellyfish UFO style, that morphology, has been with the UFO syndrome for a long time. So I said, okay, let me look a little deeper. And then, you know, clearly it's a three-dimensional object that's rotating. And I'm glad online sleuths figured that out in 2 seconds and shut down idiot debunkers who have no idea what they're talking about. I love that. And then we can show a clip of that, how you can see it's three-dimensionally rotating. Look, it's birds, it's planes, it's Superman. Actually, it's bird shit. That's what you're going to get with people who just want to do that.
It's not bird poop, man.
No,
so this is like showing you it's not bird shit. Watch this thing rotate.
All right, so let's, before, we'll go back. But.
You see? It's rotating, right? It's not like a bird poop. And so look, this is a stupid video. It's low res, but like, this is just the ultimate proof that it's a three-dimensional object and not bird poop.
And is it more than one? Did more than one camera capture it?
Yeah, so I have to be real careful with that. But there are two operators. I can talk about it. There are two operators. The difference of the color of crosshairs is, and I don't want to misspeak, but I believe that there's two feeds at all time. It's a user preference to have the color of the crosshair. I suspect because of the user preference. And they can have, the MX-20s can have two of them on the aerostat with seven sensors. The obvious thing that people want to do is immediately come up with these cockamamie from the hip, say it once and everybody believes it. This is not birds anymore. It's not balloons. It's bird shit. And you know, of course, I spent, Dave, you saw this footage from me.
I was going to say, I saw this like more than 2 years ago.
During COVID.
You showed it to me. Yeah, because we were... Masked up around your wife and
the Yeti.
You know, and you showed this to me and I saw the whole thing. Quite a lot of
both
stuff.
Of them, and other stuff,
and it freaked me out then. And I think fairly regularly since then I've been asking, when's jellyfish coming out?
Right, and I had to protect how we got it out.
How were you like? Just what's that process like? 2 years of
Three and a half years trying to confirm
it's real, or right. or trying to find avenues of to disclose it that won't jeopardize your contacts.
Right. Okay. So I need to first make sure I am the subject of a lot of disinformation. People want to use my mouth, right? So part of this is figuring out it's real. And I don't go through sources the sources give me. I got my own process, and then I pass it to George and say, do your thing, so we don't cross-pollinate ideas, right?
Right.
So that whole process is it's interesting for me to describe, and I'd love to talk with you about it. But let's just look at this one thing real quick, because, you know, the initial reaction, and this should be very telling. It smokes people out. What? It's bird shit. Okay, cool. It's not birds anymore. It's not seagulls. Yeah. It's bird shit. Okay.
Yeah.
So I knew this, and I was just waiting for people to see this. Somebody online said, okay, let's see if it actually rotates. If it's bird shit on a lens, it's not going to rotate. Somebody put this clip together. You can see the object, whatever it is, designated UAP, is actually rotating, and you see that on an axis. So that's just a cool example of you knowing that, hey, the initial people that come out and get real loud, they're not even looking at it.
No, that's it's the immediate, just what's my immediate excuse to not pay attention?
Yeah.
And it's, you know, whether it's, it's simply their desire to not be freaked out by something, or just, you know, or just an overwhelming just cynicism,
just try to be dishonest brokers of information for an agenda.
Yes, that's maybe the other part of it. Yes.
Yeah, I think it's the cheapest way to try to just blur the picture by, I mean, it takes nothing. It takes nothing to just send out skepticism and I think there's going to be
trolls out there that just skepticism, are under fake IDs
skepticism
commenting on things.
Yeah, skepticism is great.
It's important.
It's important. Yes. And you know me personally, I'm way more skeptical than the world knows in private when we talk about people send me shit. I'm like, it's bullshit. They're fake cake alien mummies. Like that nothing happened in Miami. You know, I'm super skeptical. But people don't know me. You know me, right?
Yeah.
Skepticism is important, especially with a topic so charged like this. But debunking is different than skepticism. You omit information, you have a predetermined agenda, and you try to make it fit like a square block in a round hole, sometimes, often. But really, I want to know what it is too, because we're either revealing a real problem with our military apparatus where like prosaic can't be identified, can't be targeted, can't be shot down, or we're revealing the bigger issue, which is that somebody's flying shit that we don't know about and we didn't make.
Yes. And it's also, I think there's also the other option. There are people that just have a dogmatic refusal to acknowledge something that conflicts with their sense of reality.
Right.
You know, that definitely happens with people of faith. You know, if you question their faith, sometimes you just hit this brick wall where they just dogmatically cannot accept the evidence you're giving them.
Right.
You know.
This has more detail and texture than Tic Tac or Gimbal. This is more disturbing. It's more, is vivid in a way.
Let's look at the longer clip.
Yeah.
Do we have that?
And as you play the longer clip, Jack, let me throw a few things down for you, why this was impressive to me. This is the, even though it's filmed in a skiff.
And again, you can see how the bird shit keeps sliding around the lens. And it's going up and down, and it's going out of the frame.
Oh,
sometimes it's
God.
Off a little,
what's
sometimes
it doing?
It's on.
What's it doing there?
So, okay, let's talk about it, but let me just throw something down for you.
Yes.
Like, so I, like you, probably, I was like, okay, prosaic, let's look. Bird shit, sure, like, let me look into that. Okay, easy to figure out it's not. Then you're like, okay, it's a bunch of balloons, a bunch of party balloons. I got a bunch of reasons to explain to you why they didn't come to that conclusion, and there's a reason why. But my shock, you know, of it, it just didn't fit with what I expected. You know, it's like when Dave and I actually had our sighting, this thing wasn't what I wanted. It wasn't a triangle. It wasn't a Lazar saucer. But I had to really remove my own self-opinion from it and say, okay, well, this has been seen in history. And damn, if the Pantex thing doesn't look almost identical. So I was like, okay, I need to really think about this, you know, what are we looking at? But I went through the same thing you are. This is so creepy and bizarre in that I couldn't classify it in like a normal thing. Come to find out, this has been along with the UFO thing the whole time, this jellyfish style. But like, I went through with people that I could at the time without getting anybody in trouble, like, you know, a bunch of stuff. Now, what you're seeing, obviously, this is filmed of a screen.
Yes.
So that's the raw footage. Yeah. Yeah, it's playing on the screen, right?
Yeah, so you're seeing a little of the perspective shift.
So clearly people filmed it and smuggled this shit out of a classified facility.
Yeah.
And off of a classified server and off of a classified laptop. And, like, I get that part, right? So let me just tell you this, though. Even on their machines, it's going to be way higher fidelity. But this alone is the highest fidelity, the clearest thermal imagery of a designated UAP that I have seen publicly yet, right? Because I've made a lot of it public. This is very clear footage. I know it's a little blurry. It's filmed on a screen. Yeah. But goddamn, this is
unique.
Totally. It's 2 minutes long, this one clip.
And again, for anyone who, you know, we make our living in show business. Mm-hmm. We spend all of our time looking at things shot on cameras.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it was something on the lens, it wouldn't change size in the frame. It wouldn't move around the frame. It wouldn't, you know, like, there's no way that's something on the lens.
Bro, we are so past
it's
that.
Ridiculous.
I think your audience deserves better.
Yeah.
That we're stuck on the initial things in debunkers. Like, and so that's an object.
Yeah, it's an object that's being, and now was the object visible to the human eye?
No. So it was night. To be fair, it was night, but there's another level of this.
Yeah.
And I think I can now openly talk about this, which is because once I release something, you get a lot of people coming to you and other people can start talking. Here's what actually fucking happened. So there is, I believe it's called the CIC Command Information Center, I think it's CIC Command Information Center. So as this thing is being filmed from an aerostat made by Lockheed Martin, it is a tethered balloon kind of, and it's got a very stable, I mean, it moves in the wind, but a very stable locking system. It's a weapons targeting system by Lockheed Martin called an aerostat. It's actually called the Persistent Threat Detection Platform or something like that. I don't remember the acronym.
So
it's
like jets or missiles or somewhere, but this is a kind of remote targeting way to say, here it is, we got it, you shoot that.
Or if a drone is invading this.
This is the whole...
Because this is a restricted airspace.
It's beyond just a restricted airspace. Check this out. So it is a dirigible that has about 7 sensors on it, meaning, you know, you got thermal, different types of optics. It has at least one MX-20 camera, which is a thermal camera, if not 2, because there's usually 2 operators on this platform with 2 different feeds. And there's user preference, like the yellow and the green on the 2 videos you'll see. Mm-hmm. That's user preference typically, right?
Yeah.
So this thing is there because they want to make sure on almost a weekly basis, you got people putting DJI drones into the 2 legs off the DJI drone. They'll put a, you know, bomb, you know, right in between that, and they'll fly it in. But you can see a DJI drone on thermal like this, so clear. I mean, you see the rotor wash, you see the heat signature. I mean, it's like so obvious and clear. So this object, this aerostat, the persistent threat detection system from Lockheed Martin, it's sitting up there with the MX-20 camera on one. That's what this is filmed on. And then I think there was probably another MX-20 camera. And then other sensors, there's 7, and this thing is there to protect the base from people bringing things in and blowing shit up. The thing is, it can also see about, like, I don't know, 30 kilometers, so maybe, like, let's say 23 miles for sure, I know. It can lock a Kaida tire that's spinning, a license plate, and it can target, and it can say, great, laser rangefinders, bang, shoot that shit down. So that's the purpose of this type of platform. So we've never seen footage from an aerostat from one of these persistent threat detection, you know, systems. That's why it's so clear, even though it's a video of a video. Imagine the real video, the raw original video. You can see the texture of the actual object, which was described to me as like, they said like dragon armor, where it's got little scales, like scales. And so it's not, I know, dude. So it's not like, you know, a balloon.
No.
And what about it, like the other stuff you pointed out before on this is that it changes it. This is thermal camera imaging.
Which I've always said I'm confused about. I'm trying, yeah, because it's going, it appears the object is going hot and cold.
Yes. So it's changing its thermal signature.
So I've been really careful with that because I don't know, because I haven't been able to widely show this to the world, because I even showing it to people I trust that were from former agencies, whatever, I have to be careful of sources. That's my number one job. So to be fair, I haven't been able to show it to tons of people. I do know it shows heat differential. So you can see at certain points, like the ground will go dark or light a little bit differently with the object. So it could be that you're seeing a heat differential in the object. The object itself is not.
Background.
Yeah, maybe the object itself is not heating and cooling. However, even if we say it is that, you can't omit the possibility the object is heating and cooling. And I will tell you this, people who are experts on this system said, sure, you get a little differential, but we're not changing that. We go white hot, black hot. They're like, we believe the object to be transitioning in heat signature itself, but they, you know, I can't, there's no proof of it. This is an open investigation. The other thing about that is that
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
They were just, I mean, completely baffled by the fact that they couldn't target it. They are convinced that it was actively jamming, like Underwood said. Commander Underwood. Now again, I don't know.
Because if they were locked on, the crosshairs would be – it would have it locked
it boxes
in the center.
Boxes targets. So speaking with people that do this on a daily basis that are known they know what balloons are. They know what trash is. They know what drones are. They know all UAVs. They're like, this has never happened before at this base or whatever. And in my history, they'll say, of working on these systems – the aerostat, the MX-20, this thing, it's never happened since. So the fact they can't box the target was of huge concern because there was some sort of impediment to getting a lock. When the next morning they can shoot a laser rangefinder and target a tire on a truck and blow it up.
Yeah.
Which I've seen videos of. It's crazy.
Yeah. And this event happened 2017.
Yeah. I messed that up. So because I had so many sources. Yeah. I said 2018. I corrected it with George Knapp. It was 2017.
Yeah.
We believe in October, between the 17th to about the 20th or 23rd, somewhere in that window.
Yeah.
Was this the only time it was seen?
Yeah, this is the one and only time that this object came through, went through the base.
And this base is in Iraq.
It is.
Right.
And right by Lake Habaniya.
Yeah.
And in a secure, super
it is a base within a base. Okay. And so I was worried about the buildings and the trucks, and I had to go to a few people and said, hey, am I risking any national security? And they're like, no, dude, Google Maps got better than you. So I was like, okay. So we're not going to give, like, too much specific, but there's no threat to national security yet.
Yeah. And the other thing is that, so 7 years later, this incident is still listed as an unknown, right?
Mm-hmm.
So for 7 years, the military has had this, the government has had this, and they've been trying to figure it out for seven years.
So when you say that, let's get real specific, because it's something people don't know. So when you say the government has it, the military have it, I'd be really careful with that sentence because it was immediately confiscated by an agency. I think I could say by an agency.
Yes.
It was immediately confiscated that night, the original footage on disc where it went into the water, all that stuff.
Yeah.
The only reason we're seeing footage, the miracle, is because it was piped in from the aerostat to, I think, the CIC, Command Information Center or whatever, if I'm fucking that up, sorry. And it was on a big screen.
Yeah.
Somebody or somebodies must have recorded it live before. I'm making an assumption because maybe this agency that picked it up, maybe they leaked it through the intelligence community, but people at base have portions of it. So if they have portions of it, that I would assume, and I don't want to get anybody in trouble, but that's got to be what happened. If somebody's filming the screen, either with their iPhone, or which they're not supposed to have, or capturing right to disk, because I'll tell you this, that night, and this is verified 100% by me and George Knapp, they came in, an agency with two armed escorts, and for the first time in history in that base, they took the CD of the original and they said, no one's to talk about this. This never happened. And they didn't sign out for it. And there's more, but I think that's as far as I can go. Didn't sign out for it. Next day. Now, remember, you need to sign an NDA just to be in a role, a position as an intelligence officer to be at this base to do this job. Every year they rotate, or every 6 months, I don't know, they rotate. Everybody signs NDAs. The only time in the history of this base that I'm aware of, that anybody's aware of, I've talked with, every single person that was there that night that saw it or was in the potential to see it had to sign a separate NDA. You may not talk about it.
Now, just for this one.
Just for this object. Now, if you got balloons coming in, which happen, things like that happen all the time.
They're not going to.
That does not happen. So that made me pay attention.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it wouldn't take 7 years for them to figure out balloons.
Oh, yeah, and it's like the ghost story of the base because, you know, somebody got it on their computer and they show it around. They call it the spaghetti monster. Mm-hmm. But here's – they don't just show it around, actually. What happens is people will have conversations. There's only one person at a time that has control of this classified laptop. And on this classified laptop, there is this ghost story, right?
Yeah.
Now, you can't just see that. That's the person that's like in charge, the supervisor for like the night shift or day shift. It's somebody who has control of this computer. So a lot of people will be secondhand, we'll call them witnesses, where they're told about it and they're shown like a file. Don't tell anybody we showed this to you, but check it out. However, to have access to all that information on that drive, on that computer, at that base from 2017 all the way up to 2024, inside of that computer is a full detailed report of exactly what happened almost minute by minute with everybody's names, except one weird thing I'll reveal later. It's crazy, but they got everybody in there. They got everything that happened on that day, a full account of what happened. And they have three video files that I know of on that computer. However, just to be clear, it's not broken up. In reality, the person filming this, or the persons, because there's usually two operators, and I believe there were that night, they are filming continuously. So there was about over 20 minutes of tracking it. Then when it went into the water, they were told, hover over the area, keep optics. Mm-hmm. To everybody's disbelief, 17 minutes under the water. So now we're at like at least 27 minutes.
Yeah.
The thing pops up. Then the thing, as is reported to me, multiple people who've seen the footage or been there or whatever, it slowly ascends from the water stiff without changing thermal signature as it did. It stopped on a dime and went into the water, by the way. 17 minutes.
Still maintaining that same shape.
Same shape without like the spaghetti or morphology is the cool word. I love that word. And then it goes into the water without like crumpling up the tentacles or whatever you think it is. I don't know. And then it comes up. So the stopping on the dime is important. Then it goes down 17 minutes. Then it comes up stiff without changing thermal signature. And then it rapidly accelerates off. It's not instantaneous movement from what I understand, but it rapidly and so rapidly, people that have seen that part of the footage, the camera's like trying to get it optically and, hey, where's it going? And like that, it's gone within less than 60 seconds, probably a lot less.
Yeah.
Just so you know the truth of what is seen on that third piece of footage, which we don't have.
Is there a chance we see any more of this guy? in any capacity?
Well, the only thing that I can release that I have obtained is another piece of footage of that same object that I believe to be over land. And it's either before or after this one. It's hard when you work with sources. It's so long ago. Mm-hmm. Is that before or after?
Mm-hmm.
They're sure it's the same object.
Yes.
Is it before or after? I really resist answering because I'm not 100% clear on it. Will we see more? Here's how we would see more. I am publicly willing and have made this known where it needs to be known that George Knapp and I can come in. And we can provide this to maybe the new head of Arrow is a cool guy. I hear he's
have
a
they
great...
named it? Have they named
yeah,
the
yeah,
head
yeah.
Of Arrow?
He's oh, an interim. Know. He's an interim, but I hear he's a really cool guy.
Yeah.
Like in that mm-hmm. he knows there's a problem and he's not going to play the Sean Kirkpatrick bullshit of lying to the American public.
What's yeah. his name? Did I miss something?
I'm bad with names.
It was basically somebody who was under Kirkpatrick is taking over an interim.
I don't know if he was under Kirkpatrick, but I do know that the new interim director of Arrow is said to be a straightforward person, not a political yeah. a guy that's like Kirkpatrick, totally fucking lying to the American public.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, lying to the American public. So this new guy, I got a lot of high hopes for. Separate from him, if I don't trust that organization because of the bureaucracy that they're involved with, right, with national security, I do have a way and context to bring this and information and people forward. I would say to people within the Senate Intelligence Committee, but also another group that would protect sources and witnesses, give them immunity. And if that's given to us and assured in writing with a team of lawyers, then this and so much more, we will make sure to give them with those direct firsthand witnesses and they can go do an investigation. I'm totally willing to do that. Mm-hmm. In fact, I'm fighting to be able to.
And this is, however, not like... This is leaked. This is not – people aren't yeah. necessarily happy this is out who yeah. are yes. the I mean, possessors of the original
– Somebody standing to the left of the
every
screen
single piece of
this.
Footage that I have released from that is military filmed, even if the Pentagon confirmed it, it's because I forced their hand.
Right.
It is obviously all leaked. It's usually video, even if it doesn't look like that the way I put it out. It's video filmed within – skiffs.
Got it.
And that is, you go to jail for that. And I get that, and I will yeah. protect sources to the day I die, and I will protect them with every piece of my being, and I will never reveal a source, and I've been very clear with that to the DOD and everybody. I'm a journalist.
Yeah.
That is my right. And everybody would know if they push against that, but here's the deal. Yes, it is leaked. The fear is if someone leaks this, would they leak something else? And I get that. And, yeah. and that's an important job. Mm-hmm. And I'm with the DOJ and I'm with people that like protect us from having leaks to other countries. I am fucking with them,
yeah.
just to be clear. But what we're talking about now is all the footage I got is obviously filmed in a secured skiff. And it always, how it makes its way to me and journalists, I make sure I don't know. I can't directly yeah. say who it is. Even if 10 people, 20 people have described something to me. I'm like, cool, there's an email over there. I don't, you know, if something comes in that looks like that, I'll call you and ask about it. I never put people in the position where I ask them to do something, teach them to do something. I just, look, open email. You're welcome. Mm-hmm. It's Jeremy Corbell at protonmail.com. I hate it because people will know that email, but if you got something serious, that's the one you go to, and that's how it happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm just get before for people who are going to say, well, why are we still seeing blurry black and white footage? Well, for one thing, this isn't blurry,
right?
No, it's
very
it's
sharp.
Some of the best
black and white
footage ever.
that people should understand that it's this was at nighttime. It's shot on thermal cameras because mm-hmm. it wasn't showing because you couldn't see it visually.
Yeah,
and you couldn't see it on infrared either.
So
that's why there's no high definition full color footage.
Here's the primary reason.
Yeah.
It's filmed in a skiff of a screen.
Yeah, so it's a little degradation.
Yeah, a lot.
The
original footage, you can see the texture of the actual object. Mm-hmm. Now, when you say people couldn't see it, let's get really clear on that. This is not me saying it. This is not just witnesses saying it. There is a classified report that describes it. What happened was at least 10 Marines or people that were Marine intelligence, whatever, were tasked to go out and look at it and kind of get it on their night vision
Like, go, we're seeing this. Get the fuck
you
out.
Get outside and go look. Yeah. And they're not saying, look up to the stars somewhere around you. They're like, we know the distance because
it's passing over this building now.
It's not zipping. Like, it's kind of chilling.
So, you know, with the optical idea of where it is, like, you don't know exactly where it is. I can't tell you exactly why, but they knew it's base distance from the people. So they were like, go outside. Here is the area that you need to be looking in. There's no reason that they shouldn't have been able to see it. So their words, not mine, was that without night vision, nothing. Okay, it's dark out.
Yeah.
With night vision, invisible is what they said. Yeah. So that's like crazy if that's true.
Yeah, and because you're seeing it at points that it's below treetop level.
Well, I don't know about distance, Dave, because because when you're in an aerostat from so far away, what is the approximate distance? Maybe some super nerd will figure that out. But I do know that the people that came out that night were able to know the exact direction and elevation, how to look. And the thing that was said to me was that it was invisible, meaning we knew exactly where to look, couldn't see it. So what does that mean? That means that's signature management, if that's true. What that means is you've got something in thermal, but you don't see it with the human eye or the ability of light amplification from NVG night vision goggles in the infrared, which is consistent.
So it is not reflecting or reflecting visible light.
To the point where that's a stealth technology is the idea, right? Is that in the UFO phenomenon, you constantly see that things can't be seen optically, like a cloaking with the human eye. It can be sometimes determined, its signature can be determined in thermal, sometimes ultraviolet below the spectrum of light the human eye can see, or IR above the light the spectrum the human eye can see. So the idea it could be doing signature management was also of great concern and part of the reason why they designated it UAP or like UFOs.
These characteristics.
Because, there's five observables that we all know, and that's one of them.
And cloaking. Ryan Graves, I think, they couldn't see the gimbal optically, right, with human eyes. I think there was only detectable on
instrumentation. The plane was pretty far away, I'm pretty sure, so I don't know. I mean, you've got to talk with the pilot himself who actually filmed it, but there were also, by the way, about five objects ahead of the gimbal, and there's four missing.
But he definitely said they had many times where they would pick these things up on radar,
right?
And they'd go out and look at them, and they just weren't there.
Yeah, this is always
they would see them on their instruments
with the UFO thing. Yeah. This has been part of the issue, the problem with recording for a long time. I know people that use ultraviolet and infrared filters for their camera systems that are able to capture things that are not seen in the visible spectrum of the human eye. Normal camera. So signature management is an aspect of the UAP phenomenon.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying I know this is some ship from another planet or some being. I don't know. I'm reporting that it is UAP.
It is something.
And it's so extremely something.
Yeah.
You know, that's
it is uniquely something. And it is really.
No, it's like I'm remembering.
It's a face only a mother could love. There.
I'm remembering. I'm remembering. Seeing this the first time and having to watch it over and over again.
Yeah.
It's captivating.
You know,
when we were doing that and looking through it, I mean, I remember you kind of asked me like, what is it? Like it is so creepy to me. I have no idea because I've been able to exclude so many things, but this form has been part of our culture since the beginning of UFOs and the Pantex thing put me over the edge. I'm like, I get it.
Well, you sent me that old UFO magazine from years ago that has, jellyfish UFOs on the cover.
Did I give you a physical copy?
Yeah.
I am such a good friend.
Yes.
1977.
Yeah.
That magazine where they got like the illustration of UFOs invading a nuclear base or a base.
Yeah.
And they look like jellyfish. Yeah. I'm a good friend. I sent
that
to you.
That's on my bedside table.
Bam! It's so good. Yeah.
This is cool. What are we looking at?
Yeah, it's just like an example that the jellyfish thing. I told you guys about Project Trojan Horse by John Keel.
Yeah, the jellyfish just recently. Yeah, it's a cool book. Yeah.
So good. Yeah. So weird, right?
Yeah.
So this is just a news report where they, a bunch of people on an airplane saw, and then there was like a military escort that like came up and like tried to like see the thing. It was like the gimbal surrounded by other UFOs, but it had strange morphology. It was like changing shape. So they named it back in 1954 the jellyfish UFO or flying jellyfish.
And all of this stuff about that this could be U.S. technology and whatever. We're going back 50, 60, 70 years. In the cast of characters 60 years ago of what we could see.
Let me just crush that. I'm tired of that. People talk about that. Not you, just...
No, yeah, I get you.
But let's just crush it.
Let's just say idiots.
Yeah, yeah. No, no.
They want to do smart talking.
I thought for a while. Okay, here's the deal. Cubes with spherical auras, jellyfish UFOs, Tic Tacs, they used to call them propane, discs. All of these were reported before we had a Pentagon, before we had an Air Force. Now, our government might have derivative technologies from exploitation of these craft, and we might have gotten somewhere with it. Bob doesn't think so, Bob Lazar. And I from everything I know, when Commander Fravor was up in front of Congress and he said, we don't have this tech, nor are we thinking to build this tech, nor are we, he said, 10 years, we're not going to have any of this tech. He told me, he was like, yeah, way more than 10 years. He's like, what people don't know, he is in a position to know that. He has a job right now. It's a classified job. So here's the deal. This is just an example that the jellyfish form has been around a long time. UFOs are not us, not Russia, not China, not any known technological nation. Real UFOs. Not talking trash bags, balloons, and bird shit. Real UFOs.
Right.
This is a problem that has been persistent. I call it the pesky UFO problem. It's just persistent. So it is not our tech. And by the way, if you do see a black program, like if Commander Underwood filmed the black program on the Tic Tac thing, then there was a whole debriefing process you have to do. And he's done it before. This is not our tech. This is not our black programs. Put that to bed. Move on. It's important. That's how I feel.
Yeah, and also, as I keep boringly repeating, every single black program that has eventually become public has simply been an incremental improvement on airplanes. And the fundamental operating principles of the objects is identical to what the Wright brothers flew.
Yeah.
Nothing has changed since the Wright brothers. It's still all about lift, drag, you know. And so there's nothing that doesn't have wings, doesn't have control surfaces, doesn't have propellants. Yeah.
There are, from my knowledge, there are tiny incremental increases of electromagnetic, propulsion systems that are unique. So to give you an example, when you would charge a wing of a plane with ionization, there's some sort of thing to make it go a little bit smoother through that medium, which would be a precursor to transmedium. I have been inside of the Naval Academy, the Annapolis Naval Academy, and under special kind of invitation, and I've been able to see some of the in the developments, kind of like they have this huge wind tunnel. It's so cool. I've been able to see some of what back then when I went 10, 12 years ago, don't remember, 2013, I think it went, some of the developments. Public, like no problem, wasn't like sneaking in there with like a ghillie suit. Like I was invited in. What we are seeing with UFOs durationally over decades, if not hundreds or thousands of years, is a propulsion that is different than reactionary propulsion, where you push something out the back and you go forward. Now, we do have some new tech. And you see some patents from Lockheed Martin, the Pais patents that people like to talk about, the U.S. Air Force or Navy or whatever it was. Bruh.
But you can patent something without it being achievable.
Thank you, Dave.
Yeah, you can create a patent. I mean, I'm blanking on his name. The painter.
My favorite, Klein.
Da Vinci.
Yves Klein.
Da Vinci,
Da Vinci
wrote plans for how to build a helicopter.
He did.
And tanks.
But he couldn't build one.
Yeah.
Right.
Know?
Right. I thought you were going to go Yves Klein blue is a color that's like, I think, patented by Yves Klein, which is baller move to patent a color.
Awesome. Yeah.
But like, I see what you're saying. Let's just to put it to bed.
Yeah.
We are not talking about airborne clutter. Yeah. We are not talking about balloons. We're not talking about birds. We're not talking about bird shit. We're not talking about drones, sophisticated semi-transmedium drones. We're talking about UFOs that have outpaced, outmaneuvered, and outperformed and shut on or off our nuclear weapons. That's what we're talking about.
Yes.
And there's a little bit more before, I mean, there's so much to talk about with the jellyfish, but there's a little bit more footage, right, of the jellyfish?
Yeah. So there's a second file, and to the best of my knowledge, this is of the same object. So user preference is yellow and green crosshair.
Mm-hmm.
At first, I thought this was over the water when I looked at it, but you can see the telephone poles and stuff, so I doubt that is true.
Yeah.
But
and it looks like sort of desert plant.
Yeah, yeah, but it is the same object on the same day, and I verified that with George Knapp from multiple direct first-hand, second-hand, third-hand, fourth-hand witnesses.
From the same dirigible, from the same system,
yes,
but potentially there are different angles, and potentially that's detectable by the virtue of the fact that this crosshairs is different than
there's at least seven sensors, I believe, on that one, on the you know, oh God, what do they call it again, the persistent threat detection whatever by Lockheed. Okay. And so you as a user preference will make it green, you make it yellow. There's usually two operators on these systems, and they both have their own feeds they're working on. And so this is likely a second feed from a camera on that. And we'll find out more hopefully in the near future. But
it seems like in this angle it's moving left to right, and the other one it was consistently right to left.
Yeah, so, but it's hard to tell like where the camera was and I don't know what that means. Like online sleuths, you know, and like investigators will figure that out. But I can tell you this is like we have tried our best to confirm this is the same object that was narrated to us over and over and over again. Like, don't get that wrong. This is correct.
Yeah.
So now, is it before?
How high up is it? Do we know?
I don't know. Okay. Is it before the first or the second footage? I don't know. But unfortunately, I don't have the money shot. Yeah. You know, look, I'm only as good.
From the same dirigible.
This was 100% from the same. This video, this second video, 100% was from that same dirigible, from that Lockheed Martin built dirigible. And I believe it was the second camera, thermal camera, MX-20 on that same dirigible. Mm-hmm. I need to make sure on that. I don't like to overstate.
Yeah.
But like that is the same object. I know people are trying to say it's a different object, like many miles away. They have no idea what they're talking about. Inside the classified system, there's a series of videos that are all labeled with the same object. Let's call it Spaghetti Monster. You know,
it's all
labeled. So that is, from what I understand, the same object. Now, was it before? Was it after? I don't know. It seems to be over land, but it does go out into the over the water and then does the performance things that I did explain. And hopefully, somebody will leak it.
Hey, thank you all for listening. And also remember to like and subscribe. We also love to hear your comments, but stay tuned. Next week, we have part two of our crazy interview with Jeremy Corbell, who he's always coming with cool stuff. So we'll see you next week with more Jeremy.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.